I wanted a career in which everything would matter.
Because I'm motivated by something bigger than myself.
So I joined the CIA. And now I help protect our families, our friends, and every fellow American.
Here, my abilities contribute to our mission.
Agency professionals have extraordinary integrity and exceptional talents. And every day, we do work that's incredibly important.
Find out how everything you do in your career can impact our nation. Visit cia.gov/careers to learn more and apply.
You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, Episode 12, Hall of Fame Votes and Super Bowl Notes.
Today, we have our fan favorite, our co-host extraordinaire, Jordan Watkins, on with us. We are also going to be joined later on by Susan Slusser. She is a senior writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. She is also a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America and was actually the first female president of the BBWAA. So we will talk to her about the 2018 Hall of Fame voting results, a little Bay Area MLB. So let's get started.
Let's do it.
Why are you laughing? What up, everyone? Kaylee Krish here alongside Emily Van Buskirk, and welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then welcome.
Hello.
The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks just for you, and show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass. That's with three S's. And be sure to throw us a like on Facebook.
While you're at it, Kaylee wants you to know that you can follow our personal pages. I am at Emil Nem.
And I am at Miss Krish or at Cakes88 on IG.
Now, those links can be found in our show notes at audioboom.com because I know you didn't write them down. So check us there.
All right.
Let's
get
sassy.
Woo. Welcome to this episode of Sideline Sass Podcast. We are officially 2 weeks away from the NFL Super Bowl, the end of the season. Coming up this weekend is the Pro Bowl, which five people will watch, and it'll be amazing. I'm pretty sure Emily is here with us on the episode today. Not sure, because she hasn't said anything yet.
Pro Bowl. I'm Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl.
Gosh. Anyway, so recap of the conference championship games. Jordan, did you watch the Patriots game?
I absolutely did. Definitely it was a great game. Tip my hat to the Jaguars because they played amazingly for the most part. They definitely left a couple of points and drives out there, which, you know, could have changed the game the other way. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady's Tom Brady, Belichick's Belichick, Patriots is the Patriots. So, that's the Super Bowl they go.
Were you surprised that they came back? After watching them come back against your Falcons last year?
See, we're not talking about that. we're not talking about that. But I'll say no.
No.
Because, I mean, if we were to talk about the Super Bowl from last year, mm-hmm. I would say if you can come back from that, I don't think you're really worried being down, you know, like one or two touchdowns.
Are the Jags worried at all? Because it didn't seem like they were worried at all.
I mean, I think for the Jags, one thing they did, it seems like, is that what a lot of other kind of young and experienced teams do when you have a lead. It's like, all right, let's kind of be conservative, not make any mistakes. And, you know, watching the game, Tony Romo made a lot of good points.
Yes.
And which he's done all year. He did a great job.
I love him.
He was phenomenal.
I love him as an announcer.
Yes. But one thing he kept talking about is, you know, you have to be more aggressive. You want to have your third down play call, but call it on second down. You know, try to stay ahead of the chains and things like that. And so, you know, the fact that he even noticed it as well just kind of goes to show you that they did kind of play more so not to lose that game later on until it was like, uh-oh, got to get back going.
You got to play to win, not to play to lose. Not
to win
lose
the game.
You know?
Arizona State, great head coach Herm Edwards says that.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't quite done any coaching there quite yet, but We'll get on that. Emily, did you watch the games this weekend?
I did try to watch the games this weekend, but I did not watch the second one.
Oh, okay. So neither of you guys watched the second one.
Nope.
I watched most of it, but at some point, there was really no reason to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So we came in, I didn't watch the very beginning of the game, it came in and it was 7-7. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good game, which I thought it would be the entire time. And then everything that the Vikings were good at this regular season, they were terrible at on Sunday. I mean, everything. They were the best third down defense this year. But on Sunday, the Eagles were able to get 10 out of 14 third downs conversions. To a team that has led the league all year long in third down defense, not good. They were torn apart by the tight ends. Uh-huh. They've been great on tight ends all season long. They weren't allowing deep passes. Nick Foles ended up going, 400 and something?
Wait, he was slanging it.
It was crazy.
One thing that's interesting to think about, for two things. First, I'll shout out Nick Foles because I feel like for 90% of people and the other 10% obviously being Eagles fans, we're putting him in that same category as the Blake Bortles, Case Keenum. These guys really don't have that experience. Forgetting that Nick Foles, the one year that he started, was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And absolutely balled out. Kudos to first off to him. But then also one thing to think about, because I'm sure people won't think about this since the Vikings are in Minnesota. What was it like playing outside for them in cold Philadelphia? Because now that they have, U.S. Bank, they're inside.
Yep.
So how much of that was an impact for them?
That's true. It's cold out there. I don't know. I just, probably one of my favorite parts, though, is seeing Carson Wentz on the sidelines, just like that, like, casual kind of shoulder shrug, smile. It was very fun. Like, he took this team the entire year, and then now his backup's, letting him do it. So that was pretty cool. But the game was not, at some point, it was just kind of embarrassing. I was actually watching the game with a lot of Vikings fans, which I didn't even know existed in California, but apparently they do. And
Skull.
Who doesn't want the Vikings to win so that there could be a Super Bowl in the hometown?
I know.
It'll happen next year.
Cool.
Next year.
Where is it next year?
In Atlanta.
I was being sarcastic.
I never know.
That was one of the reasons I was rooting for them, and I have a very hard time saying rooting. That's a very loose word because I'm a Packers fan. I never want the Vikings to win anything.
Right.
But I do like Case Keenum, so that was... And then I really did want to see a team play the Super Bowl in their hometown, so that would have been cool.
You guys were talking about Nick Foles. One of the numbers that I read was that the Eagles ranked number 5 in the NFL with 2.2 points per drive on offense. This season, that's their number. But when Foles was in, that number dropped to 1.7.
Interesting.
But you like watching him play.
Well, I mean,
and he still does good?
No, I don't. I mean, I didn't necessarily think that.
I'm a big numbers person, so I don't watch a lot. But I look at numbers, and that to me doesn't sound great.
Okay, I can understand that. But at the same time, also kind of look at. I do like looking at numbers, but then also look at the context of those numbers. Mm-hmm. So when I say that, I mean, one,
Points per drive.
Of course. Look at the games that he played towards the end of the regular season.
Right.
So, one, how much was really going on because they'd already clinched, this spot.
Oh, like how much were they trying?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, they had the game against Atlanta where no team really could do anything offensively. And, of course, for him, since, that he played, one game that regular season, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, here we go, playoffs.
Right.
How much chemistry was?
Those exclude, I believe, postseason
so
numbers.
So that
was just regular season.
Okay, and we just mentioned how...
He was just one game?
Right.
Oh, well, then maybe that is postseason, too. Huh. I'd be curious, because it didn't mention if it's only one game, and he averaged one... Because it has to be more than that. It has to be postseason.
I would think so.
What was his completion percentage like in those games that he played? Do you know?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, because I know
I'm curious.
Like I said, I know he started off the game against Atlanta pretty slowly.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, and they run the ball more than they throw, right?
They usually do.
Yeah. How could you not?
Especially with the running backs that
exactly.
they have.
How could you not? How Nick Foles did it. That's a great article. Everyone should read that. That's interesting. Well, I mean, like I said, I don't know. I read that number and I thought, well, that's not great. It's not a huge drop-off, but if you're thinking about drives, that's not a lot of points per drive.
Threw for 58% against the Vikings.
Okay. So that's not terrible.
No.
But it's not...
I mean, you're not going to get in the Hall of Fame with those, but that'll win you a game. That'll either keep you in the game or win you a game.
Yeah, it's right there on that margin.
Right.
But no one is Tom Brady. Except for Tom Brady.
I hate Tom Brady. That game was heartbreaking.
Yeah. I don't want to hear it.
It was so hard to watch.
I don't want
to
hear anything about heartbreaking and the Patriots. No sympathy from me.
Too?
That was sarcasm too,
I know,
right?
Okay. No, but like when you watched that first game, were you just like checked out before it even? Were you just like bitter going in?
I pulled for the Jaguars. They're the Southern team.
Yeah.
And then of course you like to see the new kids on the block,
right?
Doing something successful.
Yeah. They did so well, and then they didn't.
Well, it's like. To me, they were kind of like how Georgia was from the sense of everyone had this idea that they were doing well. But then again, I guess, you know, when you're playing against that juggernaut team and you're winning, that's people's perception. Oh, they're playing so well.
That's really good analogy from the national championship game to that game because it was very similar. You had the same kind of villain underdog complex,
right.
America's, you know.
And then at the end of the day, once you look at it, closer, it's like, oh, well, you know what? Georgia actually did miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
Jacksonville missed this opportunity, and it came back to bite both
of them. Of course. At the end of the day, it was their fault, and they had no one to blame. But that's not the narrative we're hearing. The narrative is that Tom Brady is Jesus Christ reincarnate,
and the
refs. He's the one that, and he led them to this victory, not Jacksonville shot themselves in the foot or didn't capitalize. It's like the other way around.
And I mean, I understand that because of
Same
what
with
he
Alabama,
did.
Actually.
Because of what he did, though, in the second half against this defense that's supposed to be almost impenetrable.
Yeah.
So when it comes now that we know who will actually be in the Super Bowl, you will see the Patriots facing the Eagles. What do we think about this matchup? And can Nick Foles do what he's done in the last two playoff games?
Well,
silence.
If the Eagles are going to have a chance, he better not do what he did in the first half of the Falcons game. I'll just say that much. But I think that they definitely do have a chance. This is a game that's going to be inside. You know, we mentioned before, you don't have to worry about weather or anything like that.
The
you
elements.
Also don't – I think you also – one thing they can really focus on is their rushing offense against the Patriots rushing defense, which, you know, they have, I think, like three or four running backs that they use – so use that running game to help set up the RPO game, which they like to use a lot. I know they use it probably more with Carson Wentz, but still with Foles, it's successful. And then use that to set up, some like one of those three, four deep shots that you need to keep the Patriots honest.
Well, so again, I'm looking at this analytically because I don't know enough about the teams. And what I read is that the Eagles running backs are 66% in red zone efficiency in the regular season. And then you're, of course, talking about LeGarrette Blount, who apparently he leads the league in yards per carry after contact. 3.6.
250-pound running back.
That's impressive. I didn't realize that they were that talented to have a guy that leads the league in that. But on the flip side, New England's rushing defense has stopped only 16% of rushers at or behind the line of scrimmage. So you've got a really big mismatch here. And New England, of course, subscribes to the bend but don't break defense in that they allow so many plays per drive, 5.9 plays per drive, second most in the whole NFL for this past year. But in the red zone, they only allow a 44% conversion rate. So it's like they'll bend and bend and bend, but then when you get down there, it's going to be a battle of red zone.
Of course.
Toughness.
And I think one thing for them is that they have a little bit of momentum going too in terms of stopping the run, because they went against Jacksonville.
Exactly.
And Leonard Fournette, who's, you know, top five, top three rusher in the league, only had 76 rushing yards against them. So there could be something building. It could be just one of those things that Patriot Magic is just doing it at the right times.
I really hope not. I really hope not.
Well, we will see. Prior to the Super Bowl coming our way is the most anticipated game of the year. That's the Pro Bowl.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why you guys are – I like the Pro Bowl.
You watch the Pro Bowl?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's funny.
Well, Emily, why should we watch the Pro Bowl this year?
All right, so this year is a special Pro Bowl because – and I will just say that if you want to read more about this, you can read it in the article that I wrote at the Sports Fan Journal. I basically – is my swan song to the college football season – We recapped, you know, who ended up where and why. And one of the teams that, actually, I'll give a little tidbit away. There were two teams this year in college football that...
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So, yeah, I used the savings from switching to Progressive 50 years ago to finally buy my dream car. It's a self-driving flying car, but we just say self-flying now. You know, because it's the future, and cars fly in the future.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Remained the same from week two to the final rankings. Only two.
Alabama?
Alabama's obviously one of them, and they were actually number one the entire year except for 3 weeks where they weren't, obviously. But the other team is... the UCF Knights.
National champs.
So
national champs.
The UCF Knights are self-declared national champions. Now, I didn't know this story, but their athletic director is the one, and his name is referenced in the article, who said after they won the Peach Bowl, he proclaimed and wrote it and said it that they are national champions due to their undefeated season.
Mm-hmm.
Because that should be the metric for a team. The only undefeated team.
And he said, we will be displaying a banner.
Yes, and so they have now put banners up on their practice facilities, in their locker rooms, everywhere, that actually say national champions.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL decided, who's not getting involved in college football politics at all, but they extended an invitation to the Knights to come to the Pro Bowl and come onto the field. I believe it's... at the end of the second quarter, or the first quarter, I don't know.
During halftime, maybe?
No, it's not halftime, so it must be after the first quarter.
First quarter.
They get to come out on the field, and they're going to be recognized. Now, it doesn't say what they're going to be recognized for, which is the funny thing. So
maybe they'll just say
UCF
an undefeated season.
Released a statement and said that they, in recognition of their national championship and undefeated season, they will be honored by the NFL following the first quarter. The NFL didn't say that.
Yeah.
That's what UCF said. The NFL isn't... getting involved in the title fight, but they just said that they will be recognized.
Well, that will be the only reason why I will tune in for that portion.
Because if they come out wearing national championship gear that they had made, I will literally die.
All I know is...
I will die.
I absolutely love this by Central Florida for two reasons. One is the marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
They're literally, to like a lot of people that are annoyed by this, they don't like that they're doing it, they're almost playing like that LeVar Ball villain approach. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of hearing about this.
But everyone loves them, though. So,
well,
that's
a lot
thing.
Of people don't. Because they're tired of hearing about it.
I have not read any bad
stuff
about
it. Oh, I have.
I
have.
I think, how could you
do that?
I
definitely have. Because they didn't win the championship.
And I'm pretty sure that everyone in the committee that didn't vote for them to be in the Final Four is probably feeling like, you guys aren't national championships. We didn't
vote.
Oh,
they're really making
it. That's why if you can't take a joke, then like get out of here, because this is, obviously they know they're not national champions, but they think they deserve recognition, and I agree, they got no love. Their quarterback put up stats just as good as Baker Mayfield's, just because of scheduling, because they can't get people to play him. Like, that's not...
But they're
Angie
the
King
ones
Griffin
that plan
is a monster.
They're the ones that plan scheduling.
Well, but you can only schedule teams that'll play you.
Yeah, I mean, but...
if you can't get Alabama to come play you, then you can't get Alabama
Yeah,
to come
but
play
we can say the same thing about Stanford being like, oh, you're going to play your first game of the season against Rice? Great.
Stanford always plays soft teams.
Just saying, like,
except for Notre Dame.
And Northwestern.
Yeah, but,
San Diego State.
You shouldn't have lost that game, though.
No, we shouldn't have, but that was one of their best years
in recent
memory.
Okay.
decent.
And their Alabama, as well, puts in cupcake games, too.
They do.
You know?
Okay, now there's a big difference between, like, what Stanford does for cupcake games, for the most part. I mean, sometimes they'll play, like, one FCS team. And then Alabama, who's playing the Samfords, Woffords, Mercers in, like, week 11, 12, the week before you're playing Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a completely different thing.
So you can blame them for scheduling, is all I'm saying.
No, you can't. You cannot. You can't blame them for scheduling because, A, these schedules are made years out, years and years out. And anybody will tell you that in football because it's planned so far ahead that you don't know if a team's going to be good or bad or not.
Except for maybe, like, your kickoff specials or whatever.
Those special games like the Advocare Bowl, those are different, though, because those aren't planned by the schools. Those are picked by the committees. Like the Advocare Bowl, USC-Alabama, when they play, that's decided by not anyone at the – I mean, you have to agree to go, but it's invitation. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Like, well, see, now maybe
regardless,
UCF could be
– I hope they get invited.
Table.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should be because to not lose a game, that's extremely difficult. And I don't think enough credit is being given. Okay, they didn't play the best teams. They still played UCF – I mean, USF is not it's not an easy team to beat. They beat Memphis twice. They're ranked number 25.
And like, they beat the team that beat the national champion.
Exactly. So 13 games is 13 games. I don't care, you know, what anyone says. You go undefeated, you don't lose a game. That's worth more, in my opinion.
I'm not saying I don't agree with you. I definitely think that they should have recognition. Like, they did go undefeated. I 100% agree that I think that's way harder to do than anybody gives anyone credit for. Like,
especially
that's
they
not...
were winless like 2 years ago.
I know. Scott Frost is a miracle.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I definitely agree. I think it's hilarious that they're going to the Pro Bowl to be recognized.
I think it's awesome. Cool. I think it's cool that the NFL is doing that. I think it's cool.
I want to understand like what the context is. Like,
it just says that honestly in the articles it says they'll be honored in some way. It doesn't say why, but did
the NFL say, hey, Alabama, do you want to come? And Alabama's like, no, we're good.
No, it's specifically because they were undefeated.
Huh.
So that's the whole thing is they're talking about because they're an undefeated season, they're going to be celebrating that.
I just find it funny.
Yeah.
Because Alabama's going to go to the White House. Central Florida's going to the Pro Bowl. Now, with how stuff is right now, you tell me who's getting
better?
The better end of the deal.
This is a question. Are we going to see this become a theme where any undefeated team will be invited? Would they have done the same for Hawaii in 2007?
Well, that one's a little different because Hawaii got the brakes beaten off of them in the Sugar Bowl.
Okay. They did.
Yeah.
By Georgia.
Yep, I remember that one. Georgia wore black game.
I think it's cool. I think that's... that it makes me like the NFL more.
Yeah.
And they're encouraging fans to go to the Pro Bowl if you're a UCF fan because you'll get
to see
it.
That's how you sell tickets.
That's good marketing.
That's very good marketing. Yeah.
And that's in the Pro Bowl is, isn't it in? Oh, it's in Orlando. So that makes
at
a lot
their
of sense.
old home field.
Well, there's
they got
your
the
connection.
New one.
Ah,
that makes a lot more sense.
I'm still thinking it was Hawaii.
If you want to read more about it, go to Sports Trend Journal. Check out the article.
Any other last-minute NFL news before we move on to some baseball?
I was trying to check any of my other statistical analysis here, but I think that we pretty much covered it. So, basically, we should say who we think is going to win, right?
Who's going to win?
Do you want to go first?
It's
not who you want to win, it's who you think is going to win.
No, I think they're just going to keep rolling. I'm going to go Eagles.
Wow.
Eagles in an upset. They love that role.
I know. And we just were talking about that stat among the 26 Super Bowl teams that were at least 5-point underdogs, which right now is what it is. The Patriots are favored by 5. Only 5 teams have ended up winning. So we could see the 6th one here because the Eagles do like being the underdog. So I'm also going to go with the Eagles, but only if they manage to do the things we talked about, control clock, run the ball, and keep the Patriots offense off the field. But I do think they're going to win.
I would love to see the Eagles win,
but realistically,
not so fast, my friend.
The Patriots are the Patriots, and you can never, ever, ever count out Bill Belichick's coaching ability to change mid-play, and adjust to a defense, adjust to an offense, whatever. And you cannot count out Tom Brady. He knows how to win. He has the spirit of winning inside of him, and he wants another ring.
Holy Spirit?
Probably.
Another big thing I want to see in that matchup, too, though, is that Eagles' defensive line against this Patriots O-line.
Yeah, well,
because they are so deep and they rotate, they stay fresh, and this, if you looked at the game last week, it might have not, it might have been in all sacks, but Jacksonville got a lot of pressure up on Tom Brady. So now that they have another defensive line that could wreak havoc, that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch.
It'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think we're going to see a Minnesota Eagles game.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I'm excited, so I will watch.
Well, today was also
the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Great day.
Yep. Baseball inductees Hall of Fame announced. Inductees were announced today.
Great day.
And that was excited. Jordan's really excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Chipper.
And also disappointed, though. First off, congrats, Chipper.
Shout out, Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
Shame on you riders for not realizing how great Andrew Jones has been. He deserves more than 5% of the vote. More. Shame on all of you.
All right. Okay. Well, there's Jordan's two cents. We are going to be joined by a friend of ours next up, who will talk some Hall of Fame knowledge with us, as well as some Bay Area baseball. So stay tuned.
All right, we are joined now by Susan Slusser. She is the A's beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle and a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, and she's going to talk some baseball with us. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, nice to be here. Thanks so much for asking me.
Of course.
Yeah, so kind of a busy day, huh?
A little bit.
Well, I mean, really, it was busy last night. Kind of pushing through the candidates, but today's the fun day where you sort of get to see how everybody voted and what the upshot was.
All the reactions and stuff like that. That's great. So exactly. when you're going into this voting process, what is that like for you? When does it start? When do you start, you know, looking at candidates and making those decisions?
Well, it's not really anything hard and fast. I mean, you kind of know when players are going to be eligible, who you think are surefire guys. You know, like right now we all know Mariano Rivera is eligible starting next year, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more kind of the borderline guys that you really sort of start taking a look at when you get the ballot, which is sort of in early December. We'll end up with about a month really with the ballot to kind of mull things over. And you know, it's been tough the last 2 years. I've always been a small hall person. There were years where I only voted for a couple of people. The last couple of years, because the ballot's been so packed, I've actually used all 10 slots for the first time, and I probably could have gone more this year.
Wow.
I headed up a committee for the Baseball Writers a few years ago about the Hall of Fame and the proceedings, and we actually suggested to the hall that they expand the ballot by 2 slots. Which they decided against, and it's led to sort of this backlog. For instance, this year, to make sure he did not come off the ballot, because you have to be above 5%, I voted for Scott Rolen because I think he's a very good candidate. I'm not 100% sure I would vote for him, you know, as an actual Hall of Fame guy, but for sure I wanted to stay on the ballot because I really think he's excellent and should be considered longer than 1 year. But I didn't vote for Kurt Schilling, who I have voted for in the past, and I will vote for again once this logjam is sort of cleared up.
So that's interesting because Kaylee and I are not super big baseball analysts. That's not one of the things that we cover, but we're moving that direction because we do enjoy the game. And we were sitting here kind of Googling the process and what goes into it, what we could find on the internet. We were wondering how often voters used all 10 spots, you know, what the protocol was, because I had assumed there's kind of an unspoken rule of keeping certain people on or trying to keep the number down, and maybe you could shed some light on that for us.
I mean, it really is like any other kind of vote. I think people vote with their, you know, the way they feel personally is best. It has become more strategic in recent years because there are more reliable vote trackers. Ryan Thibodeau, who's an Oakland A's fan, in fact, I've gotten to know over the last couple of years, he keeps the most prominent vote tracker. And you can go on and see if guys are potentially not getting enough of a percentage to stay on the ballot or where they might be in the, you know, in the actual voting for the hall. You know, it's a 75% clearance to get in. So that's actually changed, I think, the dynamics for some voters. Now, if you're a really super small hall person, I think you're probably still only going to vote for a couple of people. I know Mark Purdy from the San Jose Mercury News, longtime, much admired columnist. He's a very small hall guy. I think he only voted for four players this year. It's not that unusual. So it's really across the board, you know. I think some people think anybody whose numbers are similar to somebody that's already in will vote up to 10 spots and probably would go more. Some people would probably think, let's just keep it to like one or two guys getting in every year, which is, I used to really be on board with that, but there's so many deserving guys the last few years. And there were a couple of years, there was a year where nobody got in, there was a year where only one guy got in. Mm-hmm. So I think we're seeing kind of a little bit of an echo from those years.
Interesting.
I was going to say, it kind of seems like it's working itself out, because the last 2 years you guys have voted in four, which is the most at one time. So it does seem over the years, if you're not voting in someone at one time or just in one player, then it just does kind of even itself out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you think ideally, I still think there are probably some candidates that deserve more consideration who've actually come off the ballot already. That's what the Veterans Committee, which has been sort of renamed, it's like the Eras Committee or something.
Yeah.
Now, they'll look at it, guys who probably have been overlooked a little too much. I'm very happy that they've put in two players this year. I really wish they had looked at Bobby Gritch, who wasn't considered, but I think he's a guy who should be in, or certainly considered again, came off the ballot too quickly. But there is sort of at least a little bit of a fallback method in the event that somebody just completely is not considered as long as they should be, and which does happen, sadly, especially when you've got a packed ballot like this.
So we know the names of the players that got in this year, and they were some great, great guys. But of course, we have to look at the two guys that didn't get in and all the conversation around Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Now, being a member of the association, you probably have a specific stance. I don't know if most people who are members share the same feeling about it, but if you could share with us your feelings about them being left off, or if it even registers for you.
Well, it's actually something I've spent a ton of time thinking about and talking about. I was the Baseball Writers president when they first came onto the ballot, and nobody got voted in that year as a result. Oh. I think a lot of voters wrestled so much with the ballot, they just didn't vote for anybody.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of time and energy basically on that question. And I've evolved completely in my thinking. I did not vote for either man the first couple of years that they were eligible, because there is, you know, in those two instances, there is actual court documentation. Right. There is evidence that was presented in court. That, you know, and that obviously a vote is not a court of law. You know, they were both found innocent of the various charges, but, you know, we're not held to the same standards. You can look at that evidence and say, you know what, I think you probably did it. And,
yeah,
you know, I think both in both those cases, it's pretty clear that there was some sort of performance-enhancing substance use. So I did not vote for either one for the first couple of years. But I began to last year after Bud Selig, in particular, went into the Hall of Fame, I think less than a year after he had retired as commissioner. And that was on the way. I'm not saying that it was all Bud Selig's fault. It certainly wasn't. There are a lot of people to blame for the steroid era, that media included. I mean, I think everybody was complicit a little bit in the steroid era. But he ran the game during the steroid era. The managers who were the most prominent managers during the steroid era, Tony La Russa, Jim Leland, Bobby Cox, mm-hmm. They have all gone in, and it just seemed to me that it starts to look a little hypocritical when you've got all the people who are running the game and certainly had some idea of what was going on getting in, and then the two of the greatest players, certainly the greatest hitter, and probably the greatest pitcher of the era are not in. So I'm now voting for them. And also, you know, there are some players that have gone in the last couple of years who were linked without court evidence, but linked in various different, you know, publications and things that you start to think there are guys in that have probably done steroids at some point.
Yeah, well, that sheds a lot of light on
that.
I actually really like your take on that. That makes total sense, because you don't really think about that. I guess when you think about the steroid era, you're only looking at the players versus right. everyone around them that knew, that didn't say anything. And if they're getting so much
rewarded,
yeah, reward for it, then why wouldn't they? So that definitely makes sense. Now, do you think that it's more likely that at some point they will be inducted at some, because I was reading some articles where it is like, you know, guys, kids that were watching the game in that era that are just fans are now on the voting committee right. and are able to vote these guys in, and they're giving them, you know, really high percentage to get voted in. So do you think it's likely that, that those two in particular will make it in?
I tend to think that they won't, not on the regular BBWAA ballot. That would be a huge jump to get the 75% right. in the time remaining of their eligibility. It's going to be close. It's going to be really interesting. I think for that to happen, the voting body might have to change fairly drastically, which I don't see happening in that short a time. I do think that they'll go in at some point. Yeah. I don't know if it will be the Veterans Committee, or, you know, something will happen at some point where, you know, there's some sort of decision made. Because, I mean, there's no doubt that they are the two premier players of their generation. But it's really tricky. It's yeah. really tricky. And I absolutely 100% respect everybody that does not vote for them. I understand why they don't. Mm-hmm. I agree with it in many respects. I there's no place in the game for steroids. It creates an uneven playing field, and that's means that you don't really have a sport. It's not a legitimate sport if you've got a bunch of people who are cheating. So it's a tangle. It's a real tangle. I think somewhere down the road they will be in, but it might be a long time.
Got it.
Well, we appreciate you talking, giving us some insight into that, because it is definitely something to the average fan that's a little confusing, and I don't think people realize how much, you know, work and thought process goes into it. So I appreciate that. But we wanted to ask you, you know, before we let you go, we're heading to spring training this year for our first time, you know, working at it. We wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on the A's moving into spring training, maybe a little bit about their Giants, just any kind of thoughts you have as we move closer to the major league season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody gets excited this time of year as it starts to get a little closer. It was a strange offseason. There are still a lot of free agents who are out there.
Yeah.
Very late in the proceedings for that to be the case. The A's are a team that could use a little more help, frankly, in their bullpen and, you know, maybe in the rotation. I don't know if they will actually wind up making any moves between now and then.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they are obviously very happy about their young core that they're developing. I think this will be another year where the season is about developing that core.
Yeah.
I feel like they've got quite enough to win or contend this year. But as long as, you know, if they get up kind of near 500 or at 500, I think they'd be pretty happy with that.
I feel like that's a narrative we hear a lot with the A's. And it's frustrating, I think, for some people that are fans to not see the fruition of this young core of players being developed because of the problem of, you know, selling or trading players away and always having to move back and back into the younger and younger. Do you think we'll see a move away from that in the future of A's baseball, or is it always going to be a constant development of young guys and then they leave?
Well, there's two different things that potentially could come into play. One is if they do wind up getting a stadium, I think they feel like they'll have the means to hang on to players more often. I mean, they'll always probably be a team that has to make some trades.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the smaller market teams. But Billy Beane last summer flat out came out and said, we are going to try to start hanging on to some of these guys. And he's never said that before.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
He was on the record. He said it multiple times. So we'll see. They certainly haven't signed anybody to any long-term deals yet. But that seems to be at least the stated plan. Sometimes you need two parties to agree to that.
Sure.
They made a very nice multi-year offer to Marcus Semien last offseason, and he didn't accept it. So, you know, you can't just make somebody take a multi-year deal. But I think that certainly is something that they would like to do, and it'll be nice to see when it finally does happen.
That's awesome. Were you surprised? My last question, I promise. I would love to pick your brain about baseball forever, but were you surprised by any of the Giants' offseason moves? I mean, they made some big names added to the roster, and did any of that surprise you, or what do you think about that group this year?
They've been linked to, well, they were linked to an awful lot of players because they needed a lot of help, frankly, this offseason. And I liked what they did. You know, people have been sort of, when there has been a little bit of criticism of it in the last couple of weeks, it's been, well, now they're so old. I don't know how you go out and get free agent players or prominent players via trade who aren't on the older side. I mean, it's very rare that you're going to get somebody who's in, you know, 27, 28, and a top-notch player who's available in a trade. So I think they did, given sort of the limitations, that I think they did a really good job. And they were at spots they really needed.
Yeah.
If nothing else, they're now interesting. I think their fans should feel good about that and good about the fact that they made, I think, a good faith effort to make the team better. They've got some question marks still. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. And they're in a tough division. But they'll be a lot of fun, I think, to watch.
And that is always the draw for AT&T Park, is having fun there. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope.
All right. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
We hope we'll run into you in Arizona at some point, and maybe we can introduce ourselves and catch up there.
That would be great. I'd love it.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We are back. What a great interview with Susan Slusser. She is very well, I mean, she's a Stanford grad, so very well spoken, and she just brought a perspective to the Hall of Fame voting that I didn't even think of, particularly talking about Bonds and some of, and Bud Selig, who was entered in, and but part of that steroid era.
Yeah.
That was a really cool, I shouldn't say it's cool, but it was interesting to think of it.
I thought it was really interesting. I thought what I liked the most about what she said was that she's changed her mind. Like, she actually admitted to the fact that she, at one point, was like, no, I don't think that they should ever get in because we don't want steroids a part of our small hall mentality.
I love when she used that too. Yeah. I was like, oh, you've obviously been talking a lot about this.
Exactly. But I liked that she was able to say, look, I've changed my mind, because if you can allow some people in the Hall of Fame who were a part of this or possibly knew that it was going on, then you have to let the best players in as well. So I thought that was interesting. I liked her perspective on it.
I did too. And you know, but I did want to comment more. I mean, we talked about this off the record, but I don't understand why steroid use is such a big deal in the Hall of Fame. I've gotten into many arguments about this, and I'm going to preface it with saying I don't know a lot about baseball. I mean, I've been around the game my whole life. My dad played. We've been with the Giants Association for a long time. But I don't understand why cheating like that is... Everybody cheats.
Why,
in life,
taking a performance-enhancing drug in a sport is a big deal?
I don't see why it should keep someone who is one of the several of the best players in the game out from being honored as good players in the game just because they made a decision that I think more people than we know also did. Why are you punishing them? Like, what is the point of keeping them out now? And she did say that she thought at some point they'll get in. So what's the point of going through all this drama and keeping them out when eventually they get in?
Well, I mean, if they do, first and foremost, I think that if you wait, you're at least kind of sending a message to everyone else. Like, look, we're not overlooking this. And so even if they do get in, you know, that 10, like, within that 10 years or on, like, the veterans, whatever it's called, later down the road.
Yeah.
All right, it's cool. Good for them. Because think about the people that we're talking about, though. You know, you have one is Barry Bonds, which we agreed is...
You guys hate Barry Bonds.
Oh, I can't stand him. But we talked about it before. He was already on track to be one of the best baseball players ever.
He was already good without the steroids.
With the Pirates, early Giants years. He didn't have to. So then it comes off as one, why? And then you think about his relationship kind of with, like, me. And that's the thing. Who's voting? The media.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you come off as, like, a jerk and things to the media, they're not going to be so quick to just vote you in.
I guess, but if that were what people were saying, oh, he's a jerk, then, okay, that I understand that. But to say, like, we're going to keep this guy out because he cheated, I just, Kaylee and I were talking about...
Say that again.
I know. It's funny that she never hears.
What do you mean?
She never hears.
We're going to keep... Oh, well, we're going to keep him out because he cheated. Well,
I think a lot of people cheat. I don't think this is like
a... A lot of people cheat. And then especially in like this modern steroid era, a lot of those people that have cheated or have been around that bubble of cheating have not gotten in. So it's not just one or two.
What's that whole adage? You're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough?
Well, like, there's a lot of other people getting in the Hall of Fame on first and second ballots that didn't cheat.
So my thing is like, do you feel that if you allow people like that into the Hall of Fame, does it dilute the people who did make it and weren't?
I don't think it does.
I think it does. And then also, what is the example that you're setting for future? Like, obviously, they have a lot more rules and tests and stuff like that now in the MLB where, you know, a lot of people are getting caught.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot more stringent, the testing, and they know what to test for.
It is.
Whereas before, it was unclear. It's not his fault that they were in an era where it was a lot more, you know, they didn't know as much. Now it's pretty clear cut, and they know exactly what they're looking for to test. But are you going to – I don't honestly believe that there's a majority of baseball players that aren't taking some sort of, I don't know, maybe not an illegal drug, but a supplement, something that's
– A lot of athletes take supplements.
Yeah, but there's things that they get off the internet from Russia that may not be legal, but it doesn't mean that it's – It is legal also.
It'll,
do you know what I mean?
It'll get tested. But my thing
I'm just
is...
I'm saying, like...
I mean, the way I see
nobody's
it...
Nobody's perfect.
Oh, of course, nobody's perfect. But if you're going to put someone into this elite club based on what they did over a career, you know, like, you don't give somebody an A on a test and you know they cheated. They automatically... They get an F. It's a zero. It's not, hey, teacher, by the way, I cheated on this test, but all my answers are right. Oh, well, cool. You still
get
the
A. But then the F would keep him from being on the honor roll. But Barry Bonds, he still did the things that he did and won. All those games weren't vacated. Those home runs weren't vacated.
No, but
an asterisk next to him.
But that's the answer right there, is that F is keeping him off the honor roll.
But she's saying that he's going to get in.
Yeah, but that's not based on the Writers Association allowing him in. She's saying that potentially at some point the younger generation will come in and they won't think it's as bad as it's supposed to be. So maybe at some point someone will come along and say, look, they're great players. We're just going to let them in anyway. But that's not based on the structure of what they have now. That's just based on she thinks someday they will be
and
able
I
to get in.
I believe her because she knows what's
up. So that's my thing with them is, like, they have an A on their shirt. They're walking around with a scarlet letter. So does that keep them out of the Hall of Fame? Just like that F on someone's paper keeps them off the honor roll.
I mean, what about the guys that cheat on those tests that don't get caught and then go in?
But
don't get caught.
Yeah. So you can cheat, you just can't get caught.
Well, here's the thing.
That's where we're at. All right. Okay.
It's almost
just making
like,
sure I get what's going on.
Well, I mean, my whole thing about this is you have these people because technically, if we want to be real, Barry never... quote unquote got caught.
Yeah. He never tested.
He has been the poster child along with Roger Clemens and Alex Rodriguez.
Because they actually went to court.
Right.
And there was accusations, there was evidence, and that's what she said and she said there was evidence for these guys. So
court evidence, not just like public opinion.
Someone said, there was actual evidence.
Well they had the court evidence. Barry just has the physical evidence. But anyway,
but that guy that he got it from that's in jail, he's never going to flip, but everyone knew because he had said prior, he just didn't say it on under oath and on record.
Yeah, like people know. But it's not, I'm just saying,
I just don't care.
And the reason why I care, this is where you're getting more, even more into my like beef with Barry Bonds. I said that.
Beef with Bonds.
For me, and then like you ask a lot of people, because Barry hit what, was it 773 home runs, I think it was?
I don't know. See, this is where you Google.
Or let's like look it up and let's see if I was wrong.
Hey Siri.
762.
Oh. All right, it was close enough. He hit 73 when he had the crazy year. That's what it was. But anyway,
is there an asterisk next to that?
Yes.
On the internet,
I'm gonna look.
Because my thing is, you ask a lot of people who the home run king is. Some of them still say Hank Aaron because of what you know Barry Bonds and this whole involvement.
Right.
And I think one is because of steroids, and just like that whole situation. But I think another thing is also because of, and I kind of hinted at this earlier too, that whole like personality and like person that he is. You have Hank Aaron who, you know, you're coming up on Babe Ruth's 714, you're getting death threats and you're just like this ultimate stoic role model type person.
Yeah.
In comparison, like I said, you have Barry who's like he was really standoffish, jerking the media, yeah. things like that. I told you about what Chipper said in his book
right.
about him. So, you know, there are a lot of things that kind of go into that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that everybody needs to remember is that these are voted, this is a public opinion. This is,
Absolutely.
You know, this is voted on by writers who have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they take stats, they take everything they know about that person, and they form an opinion whether they think they should get into the Hall of Fame or not, right? I totally understand that a lot more goes into that. I'm not saying it's only their personality, but I'm saying there's room for human error in
mm-hmm.
this because you are making an opinion about someone.
Yeah,
so I think fair. Those things do come into effect. I was actually, when I was doing some research early on, they were saying, you know, Jeff Kent was one of the ones
mm-hmm.
who played with the Dodgers. He was one of the ones that was on the ballot this year, and he's been on a lot. And
mm-hmm.
he's never gotten more than 17%. And one of the reasons, like 17% of the votes, this is his fifth try on the ballot. Nobody really has much of a campaign for him, but they also
Aww.
Say like he was never a likable guy, and he never stayed on a team long enough. So those are things that the writers like. They want a player who has, like Trevor Hoffman, who's only been with one team.
Chipper.
You know, Chipper Jones, who's only been with one team. That's what they like to see. That's what, you know, the popular opinion is. So when you have guys like this who did go around to a lot of different teams and maybe weren't the most likable of people,
yeah.
that is going to put a dent in their voting.
I still remember when Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds, I think it was those two, they got in a fight in the Giants dugout one time when they were together.
Yeah.
Anyways, baseball, you know, I believe what I believe. So I can't say my opinion's valuable. It probably isn't, but it's just how I feel.
You also don't think that pitchers who take steroids are any better than if they don't take steroids.
Yeah, I don't see how that makes you better.
There are a lot of things. Like, it
that's
doesn't...
not just, that's, I know pitchers that have said that. So.
Well, one of the pitchers that did that, and that did steroids,
yes.
is one of the ones that they won't let into the Hall
that's
of Fame.
Well,
right?
He did that also to himself in terms of...
What made it better?
Well, I can't speak from a pitcher's standpoint.
Stronger?
It gives you, like, a turf recovery, in terms of, you know, give you a couple of extra feet on a couple home runs. And the thing is, again, going back to the whole Barry Bonds thing, think about how far he used to hit those balls
yes.
into McCovey Cove. Again, he didn't need – I think that's people's biggest gripe with him.
So
there are some people that, you know
it.
What, yeah, you might have needed it
yeah.
to be good. You might have needed it. Barry didn't need it. He became – yeah, he became the ultimate power hitter, but he became – a worse fielder.
Yeah.
He was terrible in the field after a while later on with the
mm-hmm.
Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he couldn't run. It was home run, intentional walk or bust.
Well, that's what happens when you gain 40 pounds of pure muscle and you can't.
And in your head size.
And in your head. But, and you can't run across the bases. I think that's funny. But anyway, we can move on from this topic.
It's just going to get worse.
It's just getting
I've only been making people mad, so I don't. I didn't want to talk
about
that. Get
Andrew Jones in.
All right.
So,
PSA.
PSA. So, Emily has a new segment she'd like to introduce.
We're going to try something. I don't know if it'll stick, but I thought it'd be fun for all of us to come up with just like a really outrageous take, a really bold prediction. So, for the foreseeable sports future. And I wanted to lead off with this because we didn't talk about college basketball at all. And that's probably good because I'm very pissed. It's Stanford.
Yeah.
Stanford, Kansas, it's all bad
Kansas
right now.
Will be fine.
Kansas is not going to win the Big 12.
Oh, my goodness.
And
is that your bold prediction?
No,
all right, moving
no,
on.
That's,
oh, my goodness.
That's one of them. Okay, so I want to start. And I'm going to – mine's very near in the future. It's Saturday. Every year they in college hoops we have the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and it's one of my favorite things because we get to see teams play each other that don't get to during the regular season, and they're good teams, you know. Texas A&M at Kansas, Baylor at Florida, that's going to be a really fun game. TCU at Vanderbilt I actually like because TCU is phenomenal.
They just had a really good win.
They are very good. I saw them play earlier, and I'm stoked on them. But Vanderbilt also good. Bryce Drew, just one of my favorite coaches. But the game that I want to do my bold prediction about is Oklahoma at Alabama. So the Sooners are going to be heading to Tuscaloosa. They're coming off a big win, obviously. Alabama has been doing decent so far. They had their big win over
Auburn,
correct, which was big. They beat Mississippi State. They lost Ole Miss. But I think they are going to upset Oklahoma on Saturday.
I think that's going to be...
That's my bold prediction.
With that, I just want to say that is going to be a phenomenal point guard matchup.
Yeah.
If Colin Sexton, mm-hmm. he's ready to go and going against...
Holder?
Oh, my goodness. No, it's Trey...
Oh,
his name really just slipped my mind.
I know. You need Google Trey, now, don't you?
What would I look up? It just slipped my mind.
Trey. Just say Trey.
Little college Steph Curry.
Trey Young.
Sorry. There you go.
I know, because I always think of Trey Holder from ASU, and
right.
then I mix them up. That's why I was saying Trey. So Trey Young, yes.
But I think that's – with those two freshmen, of course – you know, Trae Young's getting all the coverage,
all
and he should
love.
Because of how
all
good Oklahoma's
love.
Doing and, you know, leading the league in assists and points per game,
yeah.
which has never been done. But at the same time, Colin Sexton, with what he's been doing at Alabama when he's been healthy, with
yeah.
Avery Johnson and what, you know, he's built there and building, that's going to be a really good
yeah.
game.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So now you have to watch it, everybody, Saturday to see if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to keep score, you know. If we do this segment... There's going to be winners and losers.
Jordan, bold prediction.
Okay, this is like a little bit further out than
yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's okay.
But.
Because it's a big event.
I'm going a little throwback here with the miracle action. I say
miracle.
That
I like
United
it.
States hockey team.
Yep.
Men's
is
or women's?
Going to get men's.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are going to get silver or better in the Olympics. That is as bold as I can
That's
get.
That's pretty bold. I like it, though, because...
The college kids. Because, remember, they grew up
for the kids.
Watching that movie. That was their favorite movie.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm old.
Yeah.
That is not chill. That's not a chill comment.
I believe in you, college kids. Let's get it done.
I like that.
Dilly
All right,
dilly.
Do we think of one?
All right. My All right. bold prediction.
Yes.
It's happening this weekend.
All right. We don't know what this is. So.
The Pro Bowl.
Oh, God.
So the NFL's still trying to turn around the Pro Bowl, okay. trying to make this entertaining. One of the ways they're doing it is by bringing on UCF.
Right, which we talked about.
Which will be really funny. It's in Orlando, so I think maybe people will be like, okay, it's in Orlando instead of Hawaii. Hawaii's just too far. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
So last year, the AFC won.
Okay.
So this year, I am going to say, because Sean Payton is the coach of
okay.
the NFC,
mm-hmm.
they will win.
All right.
They will win the Pro Bowl. And I actually think that the score will be lower than in years past. I think it'll be a little bit more competitive.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good one.
And
there
then
go.
At the end of the game, Alabama drives up.
No.
And then Central Florida gets on the field, and we duke it out for
and
the
they
real
box.
Trophy.
Central Florida
it's
comes
blue, it's like
out.
Blue Mountain State.
Central Florida comes out in custom national championship gear, or I don't come on another podcast. Like that.
Y'all might be getting some more of me.
That's happening. That's another – that to go with your prediction,
yeah.
that's my other bold prediction. They come out in custom national championship gear on national television.
I hope they do.
And they hold a trophy, and God knows what else they'll be holding up.
Do you think that the NFL is allowing this because they know nobody watches the Pro Bowl?
I think because not many –
they're not allowing it. They invited them.
and so pretty much that – I think that's what you meant because, you
they're
know, I remember
tickets, man.
When the Pro Bowl was in Hawaii earlier on.
Yeah.
It got pretty good turn – it was pretty
People
decent turnout.
People want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
that.
It started dying out later on because I
yeah.
think the product's gotten softer and softer. I don't blame the players because,
they
know,
don't
you're playing
get,
another football
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's fair. But then the question I got to ask you, slight segue, do you support college football players – like former teammates not playing in bowl games for that same
oh,
reason.
Man. All right. So
don't get in trouble.
No. This is what I'm gonna say. Like there I wasn't in the situation in terms of, you know, you're thinking of millions of dollars.
Right.
So it's like, you know what? The
there
way I
insurance.
Said it yeah,
okay.
There is, but it's not as much as, you know, what you could
no,
get.
You're right.
And it's like this is the way I said it about Christian's situation. Was I?
I wasn't gonna say.
Oh man.
Well, everyone
but,
knows.
No, but really, like, yeah. was I bummed that he didn't play? Of course.
Sure.
because, you know, one, he's one of my teammates, one of my brothers. I like going out there playing with them and watching them play. A lot of people do, obviously.
Of course.
But at the same time, like I said, that is, you know, $1 million decision, so I respect it.
Okay. Was you that know. The consensus on
I
the team?
I would say that it was.
Okay.
I would say it was.
How about coaching?
Different story.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh.
But, okay, so Bryce Love plays this year in your bowl game, in your last bowl game. It was that, do you think, a good indicator that he was going to come back? Now that we're looking at it.
That would have been my bold prediction. The fact that he played in the bowl game, I thought he'd come back.
See, for me, it was always a little different because – and I'm not taking this away from Bryce, but everyone knew Christian was going to be, like, at worst, you know, predicting, like, what, mid-first round pick.
He went higher than I think people thought.
Well, yeah, but he was already going to be high to start off with. Mm-hmm. And with Bryce, even as good as the year as he was, as he had,
different.
You know, there were still, you know, Saquon, guys, all these other guys that they had in front of him.
Right.
So he wouldn't be I don't think he would have been projected that first round guy.
But he's still going to be a decent draft pick with decent money.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of times in bowl games, that can help increase your stock. Look what Solomon did, Solomon Thomas, against North Carolina. He was going to be a first-round pick, but then when he played and he absolutely balled out, that's what got him to be that third pick potentially, along with having freakish numbers at a combine.
So you don't think that was any indication that Love was going to stay?
I don't think so.
Okay. I do.
I was curious. Stuff like that comes up, I gotta ask.
Of course.
Well.
We don't utilize his Stanford football player brain enough. You know so many things, and we don't utilize it.
And I got 2 degrees.
We're gonna...
Shout out.
That one's for you, Mom.
We love your...
We
your mom's
love your
number
mom.
One fan on Twitter.
Yes.
She's the best.
She
needs to come on.
She does need
to. Her birthday's coming up. We should give her a birthday,
we
like,
We should call
something.
Her... And give her like a and yeah.
We should.
We'll have to think of one of her favorite players or athletes and try and get them.
February 16th. Let's make it happen.
All right.
Crap. She's gonna listen to this. Now she's gonna know.
She won't know when though, or who.
Yeah, she won't know who.
Well, she won't know who.
All right.
Well, that's it. All for
All right,
bold
everyone.
Predictions.
And that is also it for this episode of Sideline Sass.
Yep.
We will be back at some point in the future.
Soon.
We got a lot of things coming up. There's golf.
Starting. Yeah, we're going to be hopefully doing some stuff live from the AT&T Pro-Am down in Pebble Beach. We got some connects down there, and I'm going to be heading to Salt Lake to do some hoops, college hoops, and gymnastics, which I'm very excited about.
They packed the house
Utah
for gymnastics.
Utah gymnastics is legit, so... Yeah. I love covering it. It's so fun.
NBA All-Star Game coming up,
and that's coming up. And we might do some NFL draft, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do some spring training.
Yep. We got a lot coming your way. Just because football is almost over does not mean that
the podcast is.
Oh, the podcast lives on.
Forever.
Stay tuned.
And
as always, Jordan, what do they got to do?
Stay sassy.